I might be grateful recovering addict. First, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for being here for me when I got back here. And God is my understanding, my higher power. Talk about somebody not knowing when they thought they knew everything. That was me. I'm that guy that was sent to Narcotics Anonymous by way of probation in 1978, kicking and screaming that I ain't need to be in them room with them people because I wasn't old like them. I wasn't no drug addict because I didn't sit on nobody's stoop, nodding and trying to figure out where I'm going to get my next one from because I only got high on the weekend. And I didn't drink till I got drunk. So I told myself I wasn't an addict. And that I would never wind up like that. Because I just got in a little trouble. Because I got in the car and I didn't know that the dude who I grew up with, knowed all my life, didn't have a driver's license. And it wasn't his car. Sick. But I'm alright. Because I ain't like y'all. So, I went to meetings and got my slip signed. Because that's all I was there for. So, y'all told me, when you finish getting your slip signed, you should keep coming. For what? I got a job. I got things to do. I ain't got time to keep coming up in here with y'all people. Once I'm done, I'm done. I'm good. So, y'all told me that door swing both ways. And you can go out that revolving door if you like. And your pain can freely be refunded to you at any time. And that's what happened. Over and over and over and over. Until I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of putting me through what I put me through. Because ain't nobody make me do nothing I did. I chose that life. You know. See, I'm that guy that as a child, I saw all my family members with these things, right? And that's where it started at. I got caught up on things and didn't even know I was caught up on things. You know, I saw the nice, pretty car that my uncles were driving, the nice, fast motorcycle that my cousin would come around on and pop willies and stuff going up the street, the fresh cuts they would have, the flashy clothes, bad, back then it was the Wingtips or even the Stacy Adams, you know what I'm saying? The gold necklaces, diamond rings, the pretty women that they had walking on their arm, you know? Got caught up in all that stuff. Then I saw them lurking around the corners, you know, get their smoke on. Because getting their drink on was a regular. You know, and my house was party central on the weekend. They played cards and they partied. It was either one or the other every weekend. And we went from house to house, me being the oldest of the grandchildren. Y'all know who the babysitter was. So I got to see everything all the time. Ain't missed nothing. So I wanted all of it. So I got caught up in the things, and then after I get caught up in the things, I got caught up in the lifestyle. Right? So, you know, even after coming in here thinking that I was done, right? Getting a little clean time, they told me, Mike, you gotta let that girl go. You can't save her. She'll pull you back out faster than you can get her to come in. Your surrender is not hers. But I wouldn't listen. Because I like to do things my way. And the sponsor that I had in name only, that I only called when I wanted to get his advice on some co-signing stuff that I needed, because that's all I need you to do is co-sign my bull. Because as long as you co-sign my bull, we good. And that's my man. You know. So I get to a point where I start seeing the evidence, and I'm trying to do things the right way. But I still haven't totally surrendered, even though I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I had to get to a point of pure devastation where I had to do what y'all told me to be careful about doing. Even the literature talks about it. Saying a specific prayer and not knowing whether or not you're ready for it. I was done. I was tired. And I started really taking a good look at me. And I really understood what being sick and tired about being sick and tired about being sick and tired was. So I said that prayer and I asked God to help me. I said, God, just help me to get off the drug. Let me get my strength and my mind back to the man that you made me to be. That loving and caring son. That proud and helpful father, that big brother that paved the way to do the right thing. And then 2 weeks later, I forgot about that prayer. I had my re-up for the next day. I had my hustle for the next day. And I had a couple $100 that was mine for right now. And I was on my way to meet my son to give him some money for a pair of boots he wanted. And I did something different, which I normally don't do. And I got in the car with some guys instead of taking my own route. And God made a stop. He made that stop. I didn't feel right. I said, look, I'll meet y'all up top. I got to go. And as I went to get out the car, he said, Mike, I'm about to run out of gas. Can you let me have a few dollars of gas? I said, sure. And instead of me just giving it to him and going, Nope. I do my usual. I can't see how many ones I got, so I can only give him the odd ones. And as I'm counting, he said, put your money up, the jump outs. And I looked behind me, and they was all over the place. Parked right behind us, heading right towards me. So when he got to me, pulled me out the car, searched me, said, I got you now. Because it was this cop that was trying to get me for 3 years. Never caught me dirty. But he finally got me dirty this day. I said, oh, Lord, not like this. Because that prayer came to mind. So I got down to Central Cell, got in, and I started praying again. Then I thought about it. I said, I asked for this. I said, God just let me get in the drug court. And I asked for a program. Yeah, I get a program, I'll be all right. I ain't got to do no time. Got in the courtroom, and the judge say, young man, you know that this plea bargain that you agreed to, I don't have to adhere to it in any way, because I make the final decision in this court. Yes, sir, Your Honor. Whole time standing on pins and needles, praying, please accept the plea bargain. Please. But little did I know that my faith needed to grow a little bit more. So what happened was, he said something that shocked and surprised the whole courtroom. He said, but I've been compelled to do something different today from what I normally do. I said, oh, Lord, I'm gone. He said, for some reason, I am compelled to do something that I normally don't do. Because when I was looking at this paperwork, sitting back in my chambers, I said to myself, this person deserves the maximum penalty that these charges carry. And his nickname was Hang 'em High. But he said, but I sat down up here and just been compelled to do something different today. So consider yourself blessed, because this is your lucky day. I'm going to accept the plea bargain. Then I'm going to cancel out all of time schedule that they put on here, and I'm going to give you a program. Thank you, Jesus. I like the milk all over myself in that courtroom. My lawyer had to grab me by my arm and say, stand up. Hold myself together and stand up. Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, sir. He say, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a program for 60 days to come back and show me a different person from the guy that I'm looking at right now. At the time, I had on some dirty, scruffy old jeans. I had cornrows going down to my shoulders that was nappy because they ain't been done in about 2, maybe 3 months. My beard was all scruffed up and loose over here and close over here. you know. And I think the jacket that I had on hadn't been washed for about 6 months, right? So I went in, and as funny as it may be, I said, I'm going to do everything that I need to do so that I can get through this program with no problems, and I'm going to prove to that judge I'm worthy of what he's done for me. So I get in there, and 2 weeks later, they call me downstairs, say, program director would like to speak with you. And I get down there, and these guys all standing around with these clipboards. He say, we got a job for you. I said, sure. He said, we need you to be an expediter. I said, oh, no, I don't even know what that is. I can't do that. So then he say, oh, it's very easy. We even got a information sheet that you can read that'll show you what to do. And the past expediters, they're going to help you. They're going to walk you through the first week, right? And then the second week, you'll be on your own. I say, okay, I'll give it a try. But I got to tell you one thing. That sounds like a snitch, and I ain't no snitch. So, you know, I can't do that. He said, well, fake it till you make it. All right, I'll give it a try. In my mind, I'm going to fake it till I make it. So, go on and do what I got to do, being an expediter. I'm faking it till I make it. Last day, I'm supposed to turn in the clipboard the next morning. Why? Two guys that I really like, they've befriended, both of them, want to break out in a fight right in front of my room as I'm coming out the door to go take a shower. And I look down the hall after I finish breaking them up. Hall monitor standing there looking at me doing like this. Because he already know I've been faking it to make it through the week. Right? So I got to do a real write-up. You know, because these little petty write-ups that I done wrote up don't get nobody nothing. All right. I do the real write-up. We go through the procedures, and they get their penalties and everything. Next day, I turn in my clipboard, and they say, don't go nowhere. They say, the program director, get ready to leave. I mean, program manager, get ready to leave. And we need y'all to give us some names for somebody that y'all select to be program manager. So I say, okay, I'm hurry up and write down these three names. And when I lift my head up, I wonder why everybody looking at me. I go to hand him the paper. He said, that's all right. I said, you don't need mine? He said, nah, they already made their choice. They chose you. I said, oh, man, I don't even know what that is. I don't know how to do that. Again, he says, don't worry about it. He got a week before he leaves. He'll walk you through it just like we did last time. And you'll be all right. Kicking and screaming again, going upstairs. Mad, I don't know how I'm doing. Fake till I make it again. I get upstairs and I go sit down and I start praying. Wow. It hit me. You can't just change what you want to change, Mike. You gotta change everything, like they said. If you want to be somebody different from the person that you've been, you can't just change what you want to change. You can't pick and choose who you're going to be So who you gonna be to, when you gonna be, or when you gonna be to, you gotta change everything. The old way of thinking gotta go. You gotta get some new stuff going. So changed my whole program when I got out of there, and I'm here to tell y'all, April the 4th, I celebrated my 9th year. And by the way, that judge, when I went back in there in front of him, he said, now, that's what I'm talking about. Because I was here, my hair fresh, clean cut shave, almost as clean as it is right now. And I had on a silk suit that they had given me, silk shirt, silk tie, and a pair of Crocs. And boy, was clean as a whistle. I wound up getting 2 years probation, put me on a Star Hider program, which every month you do good, they take a month off. So I completed in 1 year. I was the star student for my probation officer, in which they did a write-up in CSOSA newsletter about, and we're still good friends today, even though I don't have to see her for no reason. And I stand on the literature. If you're new here, give yourself a chance, like Basic Tech says, read it, study it, get a sponsor, start step work, go to meetings, meeting makers make it, trust and believe. This program will change your life only if you let it. I'm a grateful recovery addict named Mike B. Thanks for letting me share.